always a little humbled by any sort of praise until you get me in the right setting, and then bam, I own it shit. But here, I'm like, yeah, you know.
So let's own that shit tonight.
Yes. Okay.
We'll be owning it.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Hustlin' in Heels. This is Stacy.
And I'm Kaylee.
And we are very excited to introduce you to our guest sitting across the table from us today, Miss Jen Tabor.
Hello.
How are you, Jen?
Oh, not too bad.
Good, good. So before we talk more about why Jen is here with us today at Hustlin' in Heels, we really need to talk about what we're drinking tonight. So, you know, it's been a long work day. Mm-hmm. We've been hustling. Time to open up a bottle of bubbly. This week, we are actually drinking some rosé sparkling wine.
My favorite.
Mm-hmm. I've never had rosé sparkling wine.
Like, rosé is just fun. It's just fun. Like, I just feel like drinking rosé makes me a classier person.
Well, just saying the word.
Right?
Yeah. And a little more relaxed, too.
A little more. So, specifically, Martini and Rossi. And my wonderful friend Carrie got me this bottle as a celebration. So cheers. Aww. To Carrie. Thank you for the bottle.
Thanks, Carrie.
We so appreciate it. Mm-hmm. So that's what we're drinking tonight. Again, if you ever have any suggestions for us, what should we drink the next episode? Make sure that you shoot us an email at letschat@hihpod.com. Now let's get down to business. Mm-hmm. Jen Tabor joining us tonight. Not only is Jen Tabor just a fantastic human being and involved in her community, but she happens to be the founder and CEO, president, woman in chief, boss babe of the world's premier guitar strap company by the name of Soldier Guitar Straps. So, and when I say world, I really mean the world. Like, think of a musician. She probably made that musician's guitar strap. Like, the big ones. Right, Jen?
Yeah. Yeah, we make a lot of big-name guitar straps. For sure.
Do you just feel so badass with that introduction, though?
Yeah.
I mean, really.
I'm always a little humbled by any sort of praise until you get me in the right setting, and then, bam, I own it, too. But here, I'm like, yeah, you know.
So let's own that shit tonight.
Yeah.
So
we'll be owning it.
In order to be not only the founder, the boss of such a large company, but also really to start from the ground up. So maybe start out by telling us a little bit about what Soldier is today, and then we'll backtrack and talk about where you started. So what is Soldier?
Okay. Well, Soldier is a independent manufacturer, and by that I mean that we've done everything with our own bootstrings. We don't have investors. We haven't, you know, it's basically whatever I could do myself is what I did, and everything that came back, everything that returned is what was put into the next step. So it's truly homegrown, grassroots, all that kind of stuff. And right now we sell to about 500, 600 mom and pop stores across the country. We deal with U.S. distributors. We distribute straps to about 14 countries overseas. In the last couple of years, we've really added on some of the Asian territories. And so we're big in Hong Kong right now. We've been selling to Japan for, I don't know, 13 years. And some of the stuff that's happening for our brand in Japan is pretty cool. We may or may not, more likely on the may side, be exhibiting at Milan Fashion Week.
Ooh.
Through another company. I can't talk too much about that, but we'll get into that when that information can be released. But, you know, and everything from guitar straps to camera straps, dog collars, music accessories, fashion accessories. We're kind of involved in all of it a little bit. And almost a year ago, relocated from Chicago, Illinois to Buchanan, Michigan. So that's where we're at now. And now we've brought all of our manufacturing to Buchanan. And yeah,
that's amazing. Like, Stacy, you are like proud mama over here. Buchanan. Bring it home.
I'm trying to hold back my pride right now, yes. But
my husband's family is Buchanan all the way. So I visit. I don't live there, but I respect the fact that you brought your business back to a small, just close-knit community in Southwest Michigan.
Yeah.
So how did Soldier Guitar Straps come to be?
Well, I was in a band. I used to be an orchestra teacher, so I've been in music my entire life. And while I was in the band, one year the guys needed a birthday present, and I was also pregnant at the time. I think I played shows up until 9 months.
Of course you did.
Yeah. I was on stage and 9 months pregnant, both with, you know, both times. But during that, we kind of figured we might need some extra diaper money. And so I made a guitar strap for each of the guys in my band just on a whim. My dad works on cars, so I had recycled seatbelt. The premise of Soldier is all of our stuff is made on recycled seatbelt with vintage fabric from the 60s and 70s. And that's kind of where the cult following started. I didn't know this back then, but when I made those first two guitar straps, we took them and I gave them as Christmas presents. And then I was like, oh, you know, this could be like a little side sling. I could teach during the day and make some guitar straps and, you know, make a little extra cash and just store it away for, you know, the rainy day when I need it. And it really turned very quickly into a super game I played with myself. Where if there was a 3-day break at school, I was on the road. I was to St. Louis. I would hit up 6 stores in St. Louis on Friday. I'd visit all the dog stores in St. Louis on Saturday, on Sunday, you know, whatever. I'd find a couple boutiques and then I'd turn around and drive back home and I'd have wholesale accounts. And every store that said yes to me, and I didn't really pay attention to, you know, of course there are people that said no, but every store that said yes to me only made me more crazy. And then I was just like, what is in the next 4-hour radius that I can get to Omaha? Okay, next, you know, next 3-day break, I'm driving to Omaha. So it just kind of turned into that. And then I started managing my wholesale accounts during lunch break and after school. I'd wait outside. I remember this. I used to drive to where because, you know, my kids were at daycare. They're babies. I would drive to the end of the block and I'd sit in the car and make phone calls until 4 o'clock. Once it hit 4 o'clock, I hung up the phone. I drove down the street and picked up the kids. But I would get to their street and just make phone calls. And people were ordering from us and I was just kind of shocked by the whole thing. And for me, you know, I loved teaching, but it was filling a hole that was in my life, in my teaching career. So in my teaching career, and you know, there's nothing, I loved it. I don't want to badmouth it at all. But being the music teacher, and you know, we are breaks. We are, you know, entertain the kids. There's no real testing. No one knows what the hell you're doing in there. You know, they just hope that it's all working out. No one knows what a music teacher is.
As long as they hear instruments, they're like, Jen's doing great. Yeah. It sounds fantastic.
As long as no one's crying, we're fine, you know. So, and it was kind of like, this is fun, but I'd come up with these crazy ideas like, I'm going to do this and we're going to make a boat and we're going to put it over the sandbox. And everybody would just look at me like I was cracked out. They would be like, please, why is she doing this? Go back to your room. All we want you to do is teach music.
Stay in your lane.
Yeah, stay in your lane. And so, and the more I did, the more I came up with, the more I just started realizing they'd really, you know, this is maybe, I'm not the end all be all for me because I like to have a crazy idea and act on it. And if it fails, I learn from it. If it's great, then I'm going to try to find out what the potential problems are coming up with it and improve it before anybody else can tell me what needs to be worked on. So it's just, you know, that's kind of where, that's where Soldier came. And I probably in the first year I was in business walked into 200 stores with a bucket of guitar straps, and people used to call them mom straps because I think at one point I was pregnant with number 2 when I was carrying around this bucket. And I don't know if they were ordering from me because they wanted them or just because they felt
whatever
bad.
It takes.
Whatever it takes. I could care less that I was pregnant. I was like, I'm on a mission here.
Money spent.
Let's go. So, yeah, so to 200 stores in the first year. And that was really cool because I got to meet with people one-on-one. So it wasn't just cold calling people and, you know, it was actually me seeing them face-to-face and shaking hands, and we built the relationship. And if I called them, they were taking my call because they knew me, you know. I wasn't. And if somebody didn't want something or if something wasn't working out for them, you know, it was my problem to figure out how to make things work for them, not their problem of why they weren't giving me money. So, and I think that came across a lot and probably still does. You know, we have a lot of devoted stores and stuff, and it's because without them, I'm nothing. So my business, you know, my interest is to keep them happy and, you know, make sure that I'm fulfilling their needs. Yeah. Above all else. So.
So you still exist to serve them, but you have that independence and freedom to take that creativity that maybe you didn't have in a traditional teaching job. Yeah. So, and I get that coming from the world of education, which I love and has built me into what I am today. Mm-hmm. But you're right. It does come with some parameters that if you do have that entrepreneurial spirit, that you can't really help it. You get these ideas and you want to run with them. Uh-huh. So sometimes you just have to take that chance and take that leap. So, yes. So tell me then, Jen, you're having babies, you're teaching full time, you're running this side gig that's becoming bigger and bigger and bigger. What moment do you pinpoint and say, all right, that's it. Right here is where we made it big.
Okay. Well, made it big. I don't know. You know, my definition of made it big, I feel like I'm still on the road
still
up.
There. Sure. So when is the point where you thought, all right, at least I've made it, you know?
When did I quit my teaching career?
We'll go with that.
Okay. We got an order from our Japanese distributor 1 year, and I think it was in January, and it was my teaching salary in the one order. And I was like, boom, that's it. If I can do this, then again, I can hustle it to get everything else that we're going to need for the year, you know, because this basically covers me teaching. And teaching was great because they let me take a year leave of absence. So I definitely took advantage of that. And then, and then just was all in.
That's awesome.
Thanks.
Where did the name Soldier come from?
There's two things. They're like, a lot of our stuff looks very vintage. A lot of it's from, you know, 60s and 70s. Another facet of Soldier is that along the way, after I made those first two guitar shops, I started looking for personalities. It really became a personality because I remember going and buying my first bass strap, and I had a red bass, whatever, PV, whatever, cheap crap red bass. And I had a gold sparkle guitar strap, and they did not go. It was like yellow gold. They did not go together. But there were three to choose from on the rack, and it was the best of the three. So when I made those first two guitar straps, I made one for Ben. Ben used to wear white collared shirts, so I made him a really classy black strap that would stand, you know. And Neil always had like corduroy jackets on, you know, with the patch on the elbow, very, you know, like hippie chic, if you will. And so I made him like this thready kind of, you know, ropey guitar strap, and that went with his. So immediately the guitar straps were personalities to me. And so when I went to sell, I was just looking for, who am I missing? You know, I'm missing like punk rock kids. I'm missing the indie kids. I'm missing the people who are super, you know, just like plain. So I think I might have forgot your question.
Soldier.
Oh, Soldier. So
drink up. Yes, drink up.
We found the fabric that, in looking for personalities, we found the fabric that Jimmy Page, Dwayne Allman, Muddy Waters, all these guys had on their guitars back in the 60s and 70s. So it was the original fabric. And the name Soldier came from the picture of the Kent State standoff where the hippies were putting flowers in the barrel of the gun. And it was kind of immediately, it was like working hard, you know, trying to go under the radar so that these bigger companies didn't find out about us, because being in 200 stores the first year was huge, and I didn't want anybody to know. I didn't want to get caught and have them be like, oh my God, this girl's onto something, and swipe it from me. So a lot of the beginning was, you know, was just staying. So there was definitely, there's always been like, and then Guns N' Roses, there's always been like the classic Guns and Roses, you know, the contrast. And so that picture was the focus. And at the same time, the killer song came out, I've Got Soul But I'm Not a Soldier, and it mm-hmm. was like it all just came together, and that was it. Before Soldier, probably maybe not since, but before Soldier, all guitar strap companies were named after the owner.
Sure.
And I just felt like it was so generic. Like, I don't want it to be a Tabor Straps or, you know, Jen Straps. Like, who wants that? You know, I wanted something that stood on its own and it wasn't necessarily me. So that's where Soldier came from, that picture.
I feel like, especially in the age of social media and a bit of an age of vanity, okay. that's very unique. Because, like, what you just said is you didn't want it to be named after you. And I love that. And I feel like the rest of the world should take note of that. You know what I mean? Because how easy would it have been for you in your first year of success to be like, hey, guys, look at me. Look what I've done. And I mean, that could have, who knows what the rest of your path, which has been successful, mm-hmm. would have been if you would have let that, you know, could have taken a different course completely.
Yeah, I mean, I've also always been very humbled by, you know, like at the same time, it's like, I didn't ask for this. I didn't expect any of it either. So, ooh, we got something.
I hear a vibrant.
It's totally
we
me.
We are very
it's
busy
totally
women.
It's totally me.
I can't help it. We got things going on.
Look at how all of us were like.
Oh, wait, my phone.
Whose phone is I ringing?
Sorry. So, yeah, no, I was saying, like, I've always been very humbled by just people being willing to give me a chance. Mm-hmm. And I never wanted to blow it by being obnoxious. Like, nobody, you know, and there's plenty, I've dealt with so many people in the music industry, especially, who are so full of themselves. And, you know, I can, will pull it out when I need to. It's definitely like a card in my back pocket, but it's not, I don't ride on that.
Yeah, which brings up a good point, right? You're at festivals. You are at trade shows. I mean, you're leaving for California?
Mm-hmm.
Tomorrow.
Tuesday.
Okay. So you're leaving for California. You're on the go quite a bit, and you're working with people who are in the music industry. And you come from a really small area, right? I mean, I know it started in Chicago, but now you live in Buchanan, which is a population of the city of about 5,000 people, for those of you who don't know. So you come from kind of this small town area, and then you take your craft and you introduce it to the rest of the world. How do you take that that dichotomy, I guess? Or how do you take what you have and keep it authentic when you're going out to the rest of the world?
I think that it speaks for itself. Like, I think I'm there to represent it, and I'm there to kind of move it along, and I'm its liaison to its customers. But you know, and as long as at the end of the day, any artist I've ever dealt with, any store, anybody who's worth their salt has always been kind, been gracious, been, you know, the people that give off that opposite vibe, they're not real. It's a fake Louis, you know. The mm-hmm. second somebody starts to question me or my integrity, boom, I'm out. And I've learned that over the years, is the only people that do that are the people who want something from you or are trying to, you know, there's something wrong with that situation. Because every other human being I've met, you know, in the music industry, who, not the snaky ones, but all the other ones, they're all just cool people. So, you know, I think, and as far as like being from a small town, my small town now helps me like have more time with my family. It gives me a time to focus on what's going on. But if you take me out of this environment, you know, it could be like the other person, the other side comes out. Like, mm-hmm. I'm ready to play ball. I got game face on, and that's another thing that I've like learned from being in the music industry is how to hold my own. I mean, I'm in an industry completely male dominated 100%. The only people who will be at the trade show that are, I shouldn't say this, but the only people at the trade show that are women besides me and maybe a handful of others are people's wives, people's girlfriends, people's daughters, and they have no authority. They stand in the booth. They don't talk. They don't address anybody. They're there to go out to dinner at night and have some cocktails and be a wingman, you know, or be on their husband's or whatever's arm for the rest of the night. So, I mean, from the beginning, I had to kind of deal with, like, who am I going to be, you know, and it kind of came the first time I went to this trade show. This guy came up to me and he was, you know, from overseas somewhere. And he came up to me and he said, where's the man? And I was like, you know, and there's people in and out of the booth all day long. So I was like, oh, well, there's no man here. I mean, maybe you saw like one of the customers and he was here, but he's not with our booth. And he was like, well, where's the man? And I said, I don't know what you're talking about. And he got all mad and walked off. And I turned around. I'm like, what, who did he see somebody? Was somebody, did he think somebody was here? And then I was like, ding. I was like, no. He won't talk to me because I'm a woman. So, oh, I had 30 minutes to get ready for that conversation. When he showed up, he walked back around. He goes, where the man? I said, look at me. I said, I am the man. You will talk to me. I said, this is how this is going down. I said, there is no man here today. I said, this is what's happening. And he placed an order. So I've learned how to grab him by the balls, basically, and, you know, whip him into shape. And I think that, you know, so I do that when I need to, but you know, it's also kind of when somebody pushes my buttons, you know, the firecracker comes out.
Yes.
I grew up with the Puerto Ricans in Chicago. I'm ready.
Like literally my eyes were like as big as like when you started telling that story, like, are you freaking kidding me?
No, but you know, at the same time, it's their culture. So
no, you're right.
I can't.
But still,
I can't fault them. But we're in America now, and that's what means, you know, it's
get
different.
With the program.
Get with the program.
Well, the thing
place
that,
in order.
Place in order.
Exactly. But even regardless of nationality, mm-hmm. I would imagine being a woman in your industry, you are an entrepreneur. You've encountered some challenges.
Definitely. There's people who own businesses or store owners, and I can tell within the first 10 seconds whether they're going to order or not, because some of them just do not deal with women whatsoever. And I can tell that they're not even going to come in my booth. They're not going to have a conversation with me, basically because where's the man? You know, like the man's not there, and that's uncomfortable for them. And, you know, I have ways of getting around that. Mm-hmm. I do.
Women, we have our ways.
I do. I find their wives. Mm-hmm. Just wait. When your wife tells you that you better do this and this and this because they love me, oh, that guy is not doing anything. He is going to come over here and talk to me now. And then if he doesn't, I will go find whoever it is and ring him back in.
I love that. Taking it from multiple angles.
Yeah. You know, you got to reach them where they're comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Get them on your side.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So obviously we'd be remiss if you were here talking to us and you didn't tell us some of your best stories of working with these folks out in the music industry. So I know you don't like to talk about, you know, who you're making straps for necessarily, and you don't really, you're very humble, right? But I would love to give our listeners an idea of really who you are working with.
Yeah, let's go.
On a daily basis. So
today I just made all my, or I've been, I didn't get Christmas gifts out, so we're making all the holiday gifts. Mm-hmm. I'm just giving everybody like a 2018 welcome to the new year strap from Soldier. And I'm sending them to Johnny Marr, who was with the Smiths and Morrissey, and he's in, you know, he's a huge one. He is such a proponent of our stuff, and he will also then we'll send him a box and he'll send them to all our friends. Let's see. We've been working with Neil Young's camp. Neil Young, we might have a special thing on his website where we're selling Neil Young's guitar straps. So we're talking to Neil Young. We're Jimmy Page, you know, Led Zeppelin. He is using our stuff in Japan right now, which is kind of why we've got a big thing going on in Japan. And Jimmy got our stuff through the guys in Aerosmith. So Aerosmith uses our stuff. And then we've got all these, like, you know, all the indie rockers, Tame Impala, Portugal the Man, who's got like that huge thing right now.
Like it just jumped in my head. Their song just jumped in my head.
Uh-huh. I called him up as soon as I heard this. I was like, what is this? This is amazing. And he's like, thanks. And I was like, yeah, keep up the good work. I'm like, next time you come to town, I need some tickets.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So we're working on that. He's coming back in February. Cage the Elephant. Let's see. I don't know. If you gave me a roster, I could. I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings and not remember them.
I know.
The Lumineers.
Adele.
And then we've got Adele. And then we've got tons of country artists that have been using our stuff. They're finally, Nashville's finally getting out of Nashville and, like, you know, the studded jeans and all that kind of stuff.
Right.
And they're, like, moving down the road, which is good for them for fashion. not, you know, there's always, that can always be incorporated. But
I hope they never leave flannel behind, because a man in a flannel.
Never, no, flannel's not going anywhere.
Thank you.
You're welcome. I promise. So, yeah, like, oh gosh.
So, lots of
Florida
people.
Georgia Line. I don't know. Name some country artists. Frankie Ballard. I'm just going to get in trouble right now. I should have brought a list.
Well, I think it'd be easier to name people who you haven't worked for, honestly, right? At this point. And I just think it's fantastic, because a lot of these people seek you out.
Yes. You know, for the first four or five years, I was like, dude, we are making a lot of guitar shops. I have no idea where they're going. Somebody's going to have one. And honestly, it was before, you know, Facebook was there, but people were not Facebook junkies posting pictures, you know, and the pictures weren't there. So, and then, you know, Instagram's taken over. If Instagram would have happened probably 8-10 years ago, I would have been in business, because we just had no idea. And then it was like, all of a sudden, boom, one day it was just people started calling, things started showing up. Wilco was another one. I mean, but a lot of bands, you know, they have their band that they look up to. And then the band that they look up to, they'll go on tour with them, and they will pass our stuff word of mouth from them to them. So it's like, you know, there's this band, First Aid Kit. I think they have played with, you know, Wilco, and they were on stage with Wilco and saw the straps, and then Wilco will tell them where to get them, and then they'll call us independently. It's just a lot of stuff like that. You know, I think that happened with Shawn Mendes. Mm-hmm. Shawn Mendes's group called us because his guitarist is in love with Wilco and wants everything they have. And so Wilco has a signature series with us. So then one day it was during Lollapalooza. He sent us an email. Oh, this is Shawn Mendes' guitarist. I want to get stuff. I don't know if I should. I'm just going to go to the local music store and get something from you. And I was like, wait, we're at Lollapalooza. You should just come to my booth. And he's like, what? And I'm like, yeah, come on down. So he came to met us at the booth, you know, and shopped through the stuff, and then came back again the next day. And then we just made this whole plan. He was like, well, you have to come see us. And so we went and visited him in Buffalo and went out there. And, you know, it's kind of like, now it's not just like we're giving, you know, we're not just giving him guitar straps or selling him guitar straps, but Zubin and I have a good relationship. I call Zubin whenever I want and say, hey, you know, I've got 12 kids with me. Do you have any extra passes?
Yes.
Yeah. And they would, you know.
So that's the thing. That's the other thing I love about you, obviously, is your mom, right? You got three girls.
Totally.
And so generals are into these festivals or into these trade shows, and sometimes her daughters are her helpers. And that's just the way it is, right?
Yeah, they're good at it. Mm-hmm. They pass out a lot of business cards.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
My kids have been, you know, they want to know now, because now they're like preteens. They're like, why can't we go with you? We went when you're 8. And I was like, yeah, when you were 8, you had no idea what was going on. And I was like, now that you see and know and are telling me things, like, no way in hell are you coming. You know, we'll talk.
Right.
I'll talk to you when you're 15.
Right.
But there's like this like dry period for the kids where they don't understand why they're not going anywhere. And I'm like,
they will later.
Yes.
Yeah.
They're like, we want to go to that magical forest and like lay in the hammocks. I'm like, mm-mm. You don't know what's in those hammocks. We're not going there. You're not going there.
So talk a little bit about that, because as Hustlin' in Heels, we talk about the fact that there's so many things that women in business specifically really need to balance in order to make it all work. So you're running this business, this worldwide business, you're traveling all over, but you have a family still at home that you have to take care of, and one that you're very involved in. So how do you balance those two worlds?
I don't know. I work, I try to work when they're sleeping. I do a lot. I come home early. My schedule is usually I'm in work every day. I adhere to, for the most part, the schedule that my employees are on, because I would not want to be the person who's just like, oh, you do this, but I'm on my own agenda. You know, I mean, sometimes I am because I am.
Sure.
But for the most part, I try to get there when everybody gets there. I try to leave when everybody leaves. But I do a lot of work at night. I'm up every night, 8 to midnight, filling in for anything that I've missed during the day. And I try to get kids to bed. Everybody's fed. I come home, be mom, feed kids. You know, and then I go back to work just so I can. It's also, I have to tell you, it's also therapeutic because it's also my don't talk to me time. No one is with me. I can concentrate. Mm-hmm. If I want to play a game of Sudoku while I'm sitting there, I will sit down and play a game of Sudoku. But for the most time, it's like when I get to be creative or when I just get to get shit done, you know, is when everybody goes to bed. But one of the reasons we moved back here is just to be closer to family so I can get a little more help with that kind of stuff. And I've got an awesome husband, you know, and he's totally supportive. He thinks I can sell ketchup to a person in a white suit. So he's always like, yeah, go do it. Go do it. Go do it. You think you can do that? I'm like, hell yeah, I could do that. And then so he's fine with it. Plus, he likes to sit on the couch. You know, he's like a homebody.
Yeah.
So it totally works out. I'm, you know.
Perfect.
Can't stop moving.
Right.
So it's a yin and a yang.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Uh-huh. We've met. I'm aware of that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So what advice would you give to a woman who had an interest in a business? Maybe they have a skill or a talent or just a genuine passion, but it's tough being a woman, entrepreneur, boss in business. What advice would you give?
Well, one of the things is I don't really think of myself as a woman in business. And I just think of myself as more like a human.
Sure.
I'm reminded that I'm a woman when I'm around at the trade shows and I'm around a bunch of men. And then I go, oh, that's right. That's right. Well, yeah, that too. And that for me, that's a bonus because you all look the same and I stand out. So, you know, but my advice would just be, I think having a dream and having and managing the safety net of, you know, whatever, like, it was very helpful for me to have a career and be able to test the waters. Because, you know, sometimes people get interested in things and then it falls out of favor and you don't want to change your whole life, you know, unless you're ready, unless it really feels like that's something. I would not advise diving. I'd advise safe diving, you know, like diving with a safety net or something like that, because I don't think there's anything wrong with, you know, indulging yourself and going crazy and moving forward. But, you know, just manage that risk, you know, and figure out how willing you are to work. You know, I had a couple of people come up to me and they're like, oh, I love what you do. I'm going to quit my job now. And I'm going to go and get shoes in South America. And I'm going to bring them up here and sell them. And I'm, you know, there's so many pieces of things that people do not see. And just to be prepared for that, because no matter, you know, whatever risk you take, there's going to be tons of things. And then my other piece of advice would be, if you ever get the chance to find someone who's at the same level you are, or just a little bit above, or find a mentor as fast as possible. Find someone you love, who supports you, who you trust, that you can tell your things to. Because there's a lot of times that I've told people vulnerabilities. It's, you know, I'll tell you this about being a woman in business. We deal with other women by, you know, by opening up our vulnerabilities to each other. And that's kind of how we make friends, is you're like, oh, you know, this makes me nervous and blah, blah, blah. And sometimes it's not a major concern. It's just like, I just need to tell somebody this so that I can move forward. And you're going to rub my back a little bit, or you're going to tell me, hey, that's not a wise idea, or whatever it is. But it's not, you know, it's not a major concern. I've had those same conversations with guys in the music industry, and they're like, she's failing. And I'm not failing. I'm just, you know, I'm just trying on possibilities. I'm having those conversations. And when I have those conversations with women, I feel like it's a much, you know, I get what I need more than what I get what I need by just trusting the person next to me. Trusting the person that's available or in the same area isn't it. You know, I have a one of my great friends. Her name is Myrna. She owns Middle Sea Music in Washington, D.C. And I know at any time I can call Myrna. And Myrna's, you know, a few years older than me. I can call Myrna and she will tell me, you know, give it to me straight. She will always tell me, oh, you need to do this. You need to cut this out. Get rid of this. Get rid of this. Then I have another friend who's about the same level as me. Our businesses are the same. And I call her with my sob stories, you know, and she's like, oh, I have the same problem. And I'm like, oh, it's so great. I'm not alone. And nothing gets resolved. And we get off the phone. But it's, you know, I feel better because at least I've had that person who kind of gets it. But I think, you know, it's the same thing with guys. They try to fix it. It's either fixed or it's broken. You know, there's no like in between. Yes.
There's so, no commiserating.
Yeah. Sure. So you got to save your, you know, your heart and put it in the right places or find those. Because if you find that person or a few of those, then you can, they'll help you down the
just
path.
Just an outlet. And I think you're right. I mean, just having that outlet. I mean, we all know, like if we've had a bad day, and you go into a room and you have a good cry and then you're done and then you're ready to go put your heels back on and go conquer the world. Sometimes you just need that release. And it's also nice just to have other women to talk about these issues with, too, just because there is that whole shared experience with them as well. So,
yeah,
I think that's great advice.
Yeah, that's my advice.
So if we follow that advice, we'll all be successful.
Yes.
Yeah. Take calculated risks and find good friends.
I mean,
who you can trust.
We've talked about tribe before. You have to have that tribe of girlfriends that you can trust. And they'll tell you if you're just being crazy or you're being a huge bitch and you need to get over it. And that's fine.
Yeah.
But it helps.
Yeah, that's fine. Sometimes I'm totally fine with people telling me I'm off my rocker.
Yeah.
Yeah, because, you know, you could choose to take it or leave it. Just because they tell you you're crazy doesn't mean that you are.
Right. I mean, you'll probably internalize it and like totally overthink about it for the whole night. Yeah. But you wake up in the morning and you're ready to go.
Yeah.
It'll be
fine. Over.
It's over.
So how can someone interact with you beyond this podcast?
Well, we have our website, which is soldier.us, soulder.us. We're also on Instagram. We're on Facebook. I'm more prone to answer things on Instagram than Facebook.
Love Instagram. I'm telling you. That is my channel. Love Instagram.
Yeah. I'm a late adopter of Instagram.
I know.
But I need the words. I need the story behind it. So that's I'm like a Facebook girl.
We complement each other so well.
I'm a Facebook girl. You're an Instagram. You do the Twitter stuff too. See, Twitter just annoys me. I get on there. I get so mad.
Love hate is Twitter in me. I'll go in spurts.
Well, the difficult thing about social media and the business is that Facebook is me. Mm-hmm. Instagram is the business.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Facebook is me. If I have time for it, I will put my stuff on there. But coming up with some story to tell a bunch of people who I don't know, who aren't in my algorithm anymore, is like exhausting.
Oh, I know. And that's only getting harder.
It's getting worse.
And they just started doing it for Instagram too. So now, you know, it's like Instagram, you know, how many people are actually seeing the things that you're putting out there? And it's really hard to keep on top of that with a business because you're disconnected. I don't know any of my Instagram followers, maybe 5. I don't know. I'm not talking to anybody. I'm just like, it's a brag board for me. And I have to like get over and brag, which is.
That's hard for you.
It is.
I know.
I got shit to do.
Yes, you do. I mean, I know. You're sewing shit. At the end of the night, if orders need to be made, you're on the sewing machine.
I am.
Filling the orders.
I am.
So.
I am.
You do it all.
Yes.
I mean, and you do have a dedicated staff, locally hired staff. You know how much I love that.
My staff's awesome. I love them all. I really finally, after a year, it took me a year of hard work to find all the people, but I wouldn't trade any of them.
No, they're pretty fantastic.
They're my peeps.
Mm-hmm. You need that.
Yes.
So thank you so much for joining us here tonight, but we're not done with you.
Okay.
You know, we like to end our shows
with,
speaking of social media,
mm-hmm.
Oh, that's a good segue.
It's like we planned it.
It is.
We're getting good at this podcast.
I know. I can tell you, I'm sweating a lot less this week.
Oh, God. I thought you were going to say a lot now. I was like, what happened?
No, you're making me so comfortable, Jen.
Oh, good.
Yeah. You between you and the rosé.
Yeah. I don't. One or the other.
That's why no one's got a word in. It's because the rosé. I'm sorry.
Drink up.
So we'd like to end all of our podcast with a little segment we call Screenshot and Share. So we're talking about, we're on social media, we see things that we think are funny or the things that are inspirational that either we'd like screenshot or we'd share them on our social media. So what is the thing that you would screenshot and send or share this week? Kaylee, I know you have a really good one.
I do. So Betty White. She's roughly 3 feet shorter than me. It's fine. But she's kind of like my spirit, you know?
She's your spirit animal?
She's my spirit animal. And so on her birthday was recently. So this is a quote from Betty White. Happy birthday. Happy belated birthday, Betty. Vodka is kind of a hobby. And I hear that. I hear it. Tito's. Oh, God. That's my brand.
Tito's is my drink, too. Tito's and some LaCroix. If that's how you... I don't know. I'm from Hicktown, but that's how I say it. LaCroix.
Yeah.
Is that right?
You know what I love, though? Okay. Pamplemousse. That's my favorite LaCroix flavor. Yes.
Pamplemousse?
I'll drink all of them.
Isn't that fun to
that's
say?
The kind with the... That's the purple and green kind?
I don't even know.
Yeah, it's the purple and green kind. Yeah. I love that
it's
kind.
It's just so fun.
It's the taller can.
Yeah.
Yeah, it makes me feel so fancy.
I know. That's the thing that grabbed me this week.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So I love it.
Mine is a little less alcohol related, which is a shocker because normally that's my go-to. But we were at this, you know, inspiring professional development, I guess you could call it, on Monday. And they showed this video and I've seen it before, but I had to share it again on my own Facebook feed because I just cannot get over it. So it's a YouTube video from 2015 and it's called Mindset Shift. And it's like this motivational and inspirational video. Please look it up. It is like narrate. I don't even know who narrates it.
It's a great voice.
Fantastic voice. And it like the music, it just gets you so excited. It's like, you know, this is the year that you're going to take charge. And so here's my favorite quote from the video. And I know this quote because I shared this on Facebook. So they say, most of us are going through life with our brakes on, which I think is pretty fantastic. And then they say, if you want something, you've got to be relentless in the pursuit of it. And I feel like that really embodies what we're trying to do here, right? Like we have this idea. But not only do we want to make it happen, we want to make it successful. And so we are just relentless in the pursuit of this goal and of this dream. So that video really spoke to me.
I love it.
It was fantastic. If you haven't watched it, you need to go watch my
Facebook. We'll share it. Follow us.
So good.
We'll share it on our channels because the whole world needs to see that.
It's like 5 minutes long, but you will feel like, so once you watch it, you'll feel like you need to open up your door and like run outside and conquer the world right then at that moment.
That's a way better quote than mine or my advice.
It's not.
Yeah, it is. Oh, yeah. That's all part of it. That's it. That's the one. I agree. That's it. I changed my advice.
All right, so what are you sharing this week?
I have been, like, making too many things to actually have a life outside of what is in front of me at work. So I'll just admit, a flub or a faux pas, which is that I Facebook Live butt dialed everyone, and there were 46 people watching it, and my pocket was there, and the phone wouldn't turn off, and everybody was starting calling me. Hello, it's not like you don't Facebook butt dials all the time, and it was just really embarrassing.
So Facebook Live from your pocket for 15 minutes.
Yeah, for 15 minutes, yeah. And it wouldn't turn off, and I was obviously talking about coffee at 8 o'clock at night.
But you didn't say anything too embarrassing.
Oh, I don't know. I just was like, you just deleted we gotta it. Get rid of this.
Yeah. So when you first got that first call, they were like, you're Facebook Living. Did you immediately like feel hot and go through the last 15 minutes of what you were talking about?
Yes, I was like, where was I when this started? Oh, shit. Yeah. But it wasn't bad. I think I just talked about coffee, which is par for the course. And then it was the pocket. Yeah. But then the phone wouldn't turn off at all. it just wouldn't turn off. 2 minutes of trying to turn it off. And then I was like, don't talk. Don't talk. Because then it's going to be like, God damn it.
46 phone. Followers?
Yeah, maybe they were it. Waiting okay. for what something they, to happen.
So that's what I was thinking. Who are the 46 people that watched like, a screen of your pocket?
Well, maybe they were just waiting for something to happen. I mean, the last time I did a Facebook Live, I was in a pretty good spot.
Right? So they're like, oh, just one more minute. One more minute. Something cool is going
to
happen.
The band's about to start. I think it was, here's my brag. My last Facebook Live was side stage at Bonnaroo for the Red Hot Chili Peppers session.
Ooh.
They have a deck of 50 cards. 50 people go up and that's all that gets to go. And it was pretty awesome. Oh. I re-fell in love with Flea and Andrew Kiedis all over again. I remembered why I love them, and I still love them.
That is pretty cool.
It was awesome. So maybe that's what they were waiting for, but unfortunately,
that didn't happen. No,
it was just coffee
no,
talk.
No, it was just coffee talk.
Maybe next time.
Maybe next time.
Well, thank you so much for joining us.
Yeah.
We appreciate it. No. And I hope that listeners, you learned something. You laughed a little with us.
Mm-hmm. And definitely check out Soldier.
Oh, yes.
For all of your guitar strap purses. I have a fantastic purse from Soldier, by the way.
And did you mention camera straps?
Yeah.
That's interesting to me. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. I wish I played the guitar.
And dog collars.
Oh, that you're speaking my language there,
too. Yeah. We got all the bases covered.
Yep.
All of them.
Uh-huh.
Awesome. Yes. Thanks for coming out tonight and for enjoying a glass of bubbly with us.
Awesome. No problem. Thank you, ladies.
Hustlin' in Heels is an NBI Studios production. Your hosts are Stacey Carlin and Kaylee Gaines, and all views and opinions expressed on the shows are theirs and theirs alone. Your executive producer is Michael Bussing, and all music and artwork for the show was created by Shane Yoder with PutThemInASong.com. You can follow along with Stacey and Kaylee on all forms of social media, Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter at HIHpod. And you can also send the show an email to letschat@hihpod.com. Feel free to write into the ladies if you're hustling in heels, tennis shoes, work boots, slippers, socks, or barefoot. If you've got a question, comment, or to suggest a guest, or even if you'd like to be a part of the show. That's all we have today, so make sure you tune in next Wednesday at 6 a.m. Eastern Time for our next episode. But until then, keep on hustling, ladies.